Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. You probably know this verse. You may have even memorized this verse. But we're going to go on to verse 13 as well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick," that word means alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God knows what we're thinking. God knows what our motives are for what we do. But go on to verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." There is nothing we do that covers our sin from God. You may remember the story. I made this mistake in Sunday school as well. I know you weren't there. You don't remember Adam and Eve, but you remember the story of Adam and Eve. So you may remember the story of Adam and Eve where they sinned and they went to hide themselves. Do you remember what they did? The Bible says they sewed fig leaves together to make, remember what the word is in the Bible? Aprons for themselves. Aprons don't cover a whole lot. And our efforts to cover our sins really don't do very good either. Kind of like the ICU gowns at the hospital, right? There's a reason why they call them ICU, all right? And because of those gowns. Now, our efforts to cover our own sins, they're just not going to work. God sees. God sees everything. God sees our thoughts. God sees our motives. God sees everything that we say, everything that we do. He knows. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Bible says nothing is hidden from His sight and open. The Bible says it's open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. With that Bible verse as a foundation, I want you to talk with me just a little bit. Have you been, you can talk in church right now, okay? No, you can't text in church right now, but you can talk in church. Have you been following the news on our fire season? Yesterday was a big news day for our fire season. The Ute Park fire. I've spent time up there. I went to the Philmont Scout Ranch a couple times, and I've spent time right there where that fire is burning. There's over 30,000 acres have been burned now. 12 buildings, last I checked, 12 buildings on the Philmont Scout Ranch have been burned. And as of this morning, that's when I checked that. So we are in a wildfire season. The message this morning, the title is "Prepare for Summer Fire Season," and we're going to make a spiritual application here as well. But I thought it'd be especially appropriate because of what's going on right now. So the risk of wildfires increases dramatically in the summer. We know that. It's just, you grow up in New Mexico, you just know these things. You probably know somebody who is a firefighter or who volunteers or did volunteer as a firefighter. Brother Ryan is homesick tonight, but I know in his college years, he volunteered as a firefighter. You've seen the pictures of the firefighters fighting these fires, and they're just covered with soot, and they're just, you can't recognize them at all. Just amazing. But during the summertime, the risk increases, especially in dry years like this one. So talk to me. That's the Ute Park fire. What's another fire that you have heard about that's going on right now? Anybody? Durango fire, a very large fire. All right. What's last I saw on that one, it was about 11,000 acres. Anybody have an update on that this morning? Have we heard any more on that? Okay. Brother Santiago, what did you hear on that? Yes, there was a fire in the Bosque yesterday. And our crews got on that and put that out very quickly. Thank the Lord for that. They just got right on that. There's one in southwestern New Mexico by another camp that I've gone to by Apache Creek. That is the Buzzard Fire. And I don't have an update on how large that fire is, but I know one year when we were at camp at Apache Creek, during the day, cinders were just falling on our heads while we were at camp because the fires were so close. You may remember those fires Magdalena, it wasn't Magdalena, it was Reserve where the big fires were. That was a few years ago. The Durango fire, the Bosque fire. The Santa Fe National Forest closed. Did you know you could close a forest? Well, it is closed. Completely closed to hiking, to camping, and the reason for that is to prevent fires. Now, you wouldn't have to do that so much except for there's people involved, and the people involved kind of can be knuckleheads sometimes. If I get, I'm not sure if that's the right way to say that. A news conference on Thursday, the forest manager James Malona said it hasn't been this dry since 2003. And he said the stage two fire restrictions have already been in place for 3 weeks, meaning that for 3 weeks it's been illegal to have a campfire in the Santa Fe National Forest. But during that time, authorities have responded to more than, listen to this, 120 illegal campfires. So it's illegal to have a campfire in the Santa Fe National Forest, and this is the way it's been for the last 3 weeks because it's so dry. And during that 3 weeks, 120 of them have been found illegally. 58 of them in the Jemez Ranger District alone over Memorial Day. So people going out into the forest and starting, you know, campfires. I was a Boy Scout for a while, and I just learned that I'd rather go camping without a campfire because it makes you stink. You smell like smoke, and except if you're going to have s'mores. You can't do s'mores over a stove. It just doesn't work. You can do them in the microwave, though, but you can't take a microwave camping, so you got a problem. But 58 campfires illegally. Why? Why do we do this? Well, we have to shut down this forest because people just say, you know, maybe it's an exception. I'm just going to go. I'm going to break the rules. The weather is hot and dry. So that means we need to take extra precautions to prevent fires. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You have just learned that we need to take extra precautions to prevent fires. Remember Smokey Bear? Did you just say that? All right, you're way ahead of me. Miss Pam writes my sermons for me. And so Smokey Bear, you know, only you can. Is it Smokey the Bear? No, it's just Smokey Bear. It's Winnie the Pooh and Smokey Bear. So you keep those separate. So he's got his shovel. Only you can prevent forest fires. This is, we're getting somewhere. Did you realize that crime increases during the summer? Did you even know that? I've got a friend in Chicago. He's a pastor of a church, Maplewood Baptist Church in Chicago. It's not downtown, but it's kind of a ways from downtown. And he says, summer nights when the moon is full, he said, I don't even let my kids go outside because of all the crime that goes on in the city. Burglary increases an average of 11% during the summer. Household larceny, maybe a new word for you. Theft of property outside the home increases by 8% during the summer. Reported domestic violence assault increases by 11.5% during the summer. On average, monthly crime for seven major offense types increased nearly 10% between June and August during the summer. So not only do we have to take extra precautions to prevent fires during the summer, but we've also got to take extra precautions against crime in the summer. Bernalillo County reported a 16% average increase in offenses during the summer and a 13% increase in violent crime during the summer. These statistics are a few years old, but you get the idea. During the summer, crime spikes. A big part of the increase has to do with teens having more free time and less structure. But that means that we need to take extra precautions to help our kids stay out of trouble during the summer. All right, so you got to prepare for fire season and take extra precautions against forest fires during the summer. You got to take extra precautions against crime during the summer, not to be a victim of a crime, but to keep ourselves from becoming the ones doing the crime. Teenagers especially. Actually, there's no school, there's no structure, and there's all this downtime, and the nights are warm, and a lot of kids get in trouble during the summer months. So we need to take action and prepare and take extra precautions to help our kids stay out of trouble. And in the summer, we need to take extra precautions spiritually as well. And here's where we're going with the message, but I hope that you'll understand that this really is an important issue, and I hope that you'll take this to heart. We need to take extra precautions spiritually. Why? Well, there's big changes in schedule. Kids are used to going to school, and have you ever noticed the difference in traffic on I-40 on a day when there's no school versus a day when there is school? It's like the whole city changes just because there's no school. Everything, our schedule, just everything. Now, it may not change your schedule so much, but on the big picture, things change dramatically when there's no school. So there's a change in the schedule because we need to take precautions because there's more free time. We need to take precautions because there's less supervised time. We need to take precautions because we have this crazy thing called a vacation mentality. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. We need to take precautions as Christians because warmer weather leads to less clothing. It's going to be very blunt, right? So we need to take precautions. We need to take precautions because warmer nights lead to late nights out. You know, when the weather turns warm, there's a switch that flips in most of our brains, telling us that now's the time to go crazy, break the rules, and try something dangerous. It's summertime. Ah, just go nuts, right? Just throw out all the rules and just go crazy. You don't have to think any further than songs about summer to know that that's the truth. Now, I'm not going to go through all the songs about the summer. I Googled it yesterday, and we just put a new filter on our computers, and it shut down my... I couldn't see any of them anyway. And I'll be talking more about computer filters another time, but this is one of those things, precautions, all right? Precautions as we go into these summer months. So you hear these songs about summer and summer of love and, you know, these things. A lot of bad stuff happens in the summer. We've got free time. There's no school. There's no supervision. We can do whatever we want to, and a lot of times we end up getting ourselves in a lot of trouble. Not just teens, adults as well. So I want to preach this message, prepare for summer fire season. While the Forest Service and the fire departments are preparing their equipment for a spike in fires during the summer, and police departments are preparing their officers for a spike in crime during the summer, we need to prepare spiritually for a spike in temptations during the summer. So here's the message, how to prepare spiritually for summer temptations. I'm going to give you a few points. I'm not going to be long, but I think these will be practical. I think they'll be helpful for you. The first one is this, how to prepare spiritually for summer temptations. Number one, remember that God sees everything you do. If you go into this summer remembering everything I do, as the Bible says, it is naked and open in the eyes of God. He sees everything. There is no place where I'm going to go where God is not going to see me. There's nothing I'm going to do where God's not going to see me. And so a lot of times we get this idea, I think I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and do that. We get this idea that we can sin, and because there's nobody else around seeing, there's nobody looking, I'm going to get away with it. You've just got to understand, and this will help you, God is always watching. And God sees you. And God not only sees what you're doing, He sees your thoughts and He sees the motives of your heart, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. All things, the Bible says, are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We like to deceive ourselves into believing that our sin is private. It's hidden from God, and it doesn't impact the rest of our family and life. The idea is, it's just me and no one will ever know. I'm by myself, or it's just us, and no one else will ever know. You know, that's a lie that the devil will tell you. It's a deception that you're sinning in a bubble. I put quotation marks around that because we get this idea that we can sin in a bubble. Adultery happens in a bubble. Two people get together and they think, hey, nobody else will ever know about this. We can do this and we'll be fine. We won't get caught. But you always get caught. That's one of the points coming up here in just a little bit. First point is this. Remember that God sees everything that we do. That will help you as you go into this summer. This is the first Sunday in June. You survived May. You survived school. No more teachers. No more books. No more... No, I forgot how that goes. Something about dirty looks, right? I don't remember the order of all that. Well, you survived. You made it through that. It's summertime now. You had cabin fever, right? You're in school and you start shaking. I gotta get out of... I would have that bad. That March, April, May come along and the weather starts getting nice and the trees start turning green. And I'm thinking, I gotta get out in the woods. I gotta go fishing. I gotta go camping. I gotta go just do something. I want to get out of here. I want to go drive at night, and I want to drive my... I remember as a teenager thinking, this is gonna be so cool. You know, I've seen the movies and stuff. And now that it's summer, you can drive around and you have your drink there with you. Your Sonic. Right, your 44 ounces of sugar and just cruise around and just have so much fun and these are our pictures of what summer is. I just want you to remember that as you're going into the summer, God sees everything that you do. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you. Listen, He does. That's actually a good thing because He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Anywhere you go, God is there with you. He sees you. It's a wonderful thing, but it's a good reminder that everything that you do, God sees. It will help you. It will help you this summer. If you were to think about this, if everything I was to do today was to end up on the front page of, nobody gets newspapers anymore. If it was to end up on the screen of everybody's opening when they're opening their email account. If it was to end up on my everybody's Facebook page, what I did today. If everything I did today was to end up on the front page of the newspaper, would I do that? Would I go to this place if everybody tomorrow knew that I went there? Would I watch this movie if everybody tomorrow knew that I watched it? Would I go to this website if everybody tomorrow knew that I went to this website? It would stop you from doing a lot of the things and going to a lot of the places and getting involved in some of the things that we might get involved in. But I want you to understand this. It doesn't have to be printed on the newspaper because God already sees it. God knows everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you say. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8, if you would. Okay, I just threw a curveball at you. Ezekiel, all right? It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, it's right before Daniel. I don't know if that's going to help you any. It's before Malachi. All right, find Ezekiel. There's this verse in Ezekiel that it describes so well this idea that I can sin and nobody's looking, so I'm okay. I can sin in private. And if as long as nobody sees it, I'm not going to get caught. But what I want you to remember is that God always sees it. Ezekiel chapter 8, okay? That's where we're going to go. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 11. Y'all are doing pretty good finding that. That is excellent. I wrote mine down in my notes so that I wouldn't have to take the time and turn there because sometimes I can't turn and talk at the same time. Anybody else have issues like this? They say it's a genius trait. Somebody said, I don't know who said it, but they said it was like you can't pull up to the ATM and have your radio going and take care of business at the same time. I can't do that. I just can't. Did you find Ezekiel chapter 8? All right. Did I stall enough? Okay. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. I've got just to tell you what's happening here. God takes Ezekiel by a vision and he brings him to the temple. And he looks through a hole in the temple and he sees what's going on inside. Now, Babylon has come in and has destroyed Israel, taken them captive. But Ezekiel comes back in. He's looking through this hole in the temple, in this vision, and he's seeing what the people are doing inside the temple. He's seeing what they're doing, what they think in private. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. I don't have time to develop this really this morning, but if you look a little bit more in that chapter, you see that they're worshiping the sun and they're worshiping the moon and they're worshiping images of animals on written on the walls of the temple. And they're saying, we're in the dark. Nobody sees us. God doesn't even see us because we're doing this in the dark. And we have this idea as people that as long as we do it where nobody else sees us, we're okay. What I want you to understand is God always sees that. God always knows. They thought they were hiding their sins from God, but God saw everything they were doing, and God showed others everything that they were doing. God said, Ezekiel, come on, I want you to see what they're doing. I want you to see what they're doing in the dark, and they think nobody else can see, but Ezekiel, I want you to come look in the hole in the wall and see what they're doing here. You can read the rest of that chapter and get the rest of that story. Psalm chapter 90, verse 8, the Bible says, Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Our secret sins. Do you know what countenance refers to? It refers to the face. In this case, the face of God. Isn't that the place where I don't want my secret sins to be? Right in the face of God? I don't want God to see my sins. I don't want God to see what I do in secret. What a terrible thought. But the Bible says that is exactly what happens. God sees and God knows in our secret sins. The Bible says, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Have you ever played hide-and-seek with a two-year-old? Oh, it's great fun. Talking to kids that don't quite get it, it's just fun. You can say all kinds of things to them. It's like, you are the ugliest little kid in the world. They're like, don't ever do that, okay? I'd never do that. My wife did. I wouldn't do it. She told me she did that. Play hide-and-seek with a two-year-old, all right? When it's your turn to hide, you say, okay, cover your eyes, and they cover their eyes, and you go hide, and they have to come find you. And when it's their turn to hide, they cover their eyes, right? Because they think you can't see them. And that's exactly what we do with God. We do that same thing with God. We sin and we think, God can't see me. You can't see me, God. Wait a minute. We're just deceiving ourselves. God can see you. As you go into this summer, I want you to take precautions, just like the Forest Service takes precautions and the police the department takes precautions. I want you to take precautions because temptations rise during the summer. And I want you to be aware God sees. Jeremiah 23, 24, the Bible says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord." There's no place where God isn't, so there's no place where you can go where he doesn't see. Everything you do, every place you go, everything you say. Now, I'm not trying to threaten you. I'm just saying this is the way it is. God sees it. And as you go into your life, you just got to understand, this is how I need to live because God sees everything. Everything you click on, everything you type, every disc you put. Anybody even use DVDs anymore? We still have a VHS player at our house, believe that or not. Everything you watch, God sees. All right, so that was the first point. Second point is this. Remember not only that God sees everything you do, but remember that you will get caught. This is big, and this will help you. You will get caught. Now, it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but you will get caught. I'm going to give you a verse quickly. I'll just read it to you. Numbers 32, 23. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They were going to the promised land. Two of the tribes said, "Hey, we just want to set up over here on this side of the Jordan instead of going on that side of the Jordan." And they said, "Okay," I believe it was Joshua. Joshua said, I don't remember it was Joshua or Moses, one of the two. He said to them, "That's fine. You're making a promise that you're going to go, you're going to help us fight these battles, and then you can come back and settle this land." Then he says, "But if you don't," in Numbers 32, 23, "but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord." And this next phrase has stuck with me ever since I was a kid. "And be sure your sin will find you out." And be sure your sin will find you out. Now, this was spoken to the children of Israel, these two tribes. But I want you to understand, this applies to you and to me. Be sure your sin will find you out. You will get caught. It will happen. There's a man in the Bible that most people respect greatly, and I do in many areas, but in some areas I just don't. David sinned. King David, the man after God's own heart, he sinned by taking another man's wife and then killing the other man to cover it up. You may remember that story. And when I get to that part of the story, I just hate reading that part. It's true. It's one of the reasons I believe it. I mean, the Bible is true. Who else would write a book about themselves and put in all the bad stuff? But it's just the truth, and it's there. So David sees Bathsheba, and he's tempted, and he gives in to temptation, and he commits adultery with Bathsheba, and he finds out that they're going to have a child together, and he goes and he has her husband murdered. He thinks he gets away with it. He thinks everything's going to be okay. Nobody's to tell the story anymore. Now, the only person that knows is Bathsheba and one of the guys in the army, the person that was in charge of making sure that her husband died. Only two people know. It looks like we're going to make it. Looks like I got away with the sin, and whew, that was a close one. That could have really ruined my career. Could have ruined my reputation. But there's somebody else that knew, and that was God. And God told the prophet Nathan, and Nathan went up to David and accused him of this terrible thing that he had done because God knew. If you'll understand this, this is going to help you. I'm kind of talking to teens today, but adults, this applies to you just so very well, because you never grow out of temptation. You never grow out of the possibility of being able to sin. So this applies to all of us today. Listen, as you go into this summer, remember, you will get caught. That'll help you. If you understand this, if I do this thing, I'm going to get caught. It may not be today. It may not be right away. But eventually I will get caught. Because God knows and he will make sure that justice is done. Let me give you another principle. Remember that there's always a punishment for sin, even if it's not right away. These are very basic. Remember that God knows. Remember that you will get caught. And remember that there is a punishment for sin. I guess I'm talking to you kind of like I'd be talking to a good friend of mine, or maybe like I'd be talking to... Now, adults, don't get mad at me, but like I'd be talking to one of my kids. I'm not talking down to you. I need to hear this. I need to remember that God knows. I need to remember that I will get caught. And I need to remember that there's always a punishment for sin, even if it's not right away. There's another man in the Bible. I'll just tell you the story. His name was Achan. Achan was a soldier. We're going way back in history now. Achan was a soldier whenever the Israelites came to Jericho. Remember the story? They walked around the city. The walls fell down. Achan was one of the soldiers that went in to destroy the city. The command of God was this: when you go in to destroy the city, do not take anything out of the city for yourself. There will be some things in the city that you'll find. You may find riches. You may find treasures. You may find, there's all kinds of things that you may find in the city, but do not take any of that for yourself. God called it the accursed thing. Don't take any of that accursed thing for yourselves. Well, Achan, just as he was fighting the battle, as he was inside Jericho, the walls fell down, he went in, he looked and he saw something. The Bible says he saw some clothes, really nice clothes. Not secondhand, well, I guess they were because he stole it from somebody. But, I mean, these are nice clothes. The Bible calls them a Babylonian raiment, I think is what it was. I mean, wouldn't you want a Babylonian raiment? I mean, everybody wants a Babylonian. It's just, it's the thing. He found it, he wanted it. He wanted this Babylonian. The Bible says he saw gold, he saw treasures there, and he saw that, and he took it. He was commanded not to. He saw it, he took it. The Bible says he took it, and this was a fortune. This was a treasure. It was huge. He took it and he buried it under his tent. Nobody saw. Nobody knew. Nobody saw him take it. Nobody saw him go back to his tent. Nobody saw him bury it. He was clear. He was safe. He. What a great idea. What a great criminal mastermind. What a plan. He was never going to get caught. But God knew. Because our first principle is God sees everything that you do. And God brought it up to Joshua. Joshua was the man in charge. It might have seemed like he got away with it. You know, Achan might have even not been feeling that nervousness anymore that you feel when you do something wrong and you're kind of scared you might get caught. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. You've done something wrong. You're like, oh, I hope I don't get caught. I hope I don't get caught. And then a couple days go by, you're like, oh, whew, made it. I survived. Told a lie, nobody caught me. Cheated on the test, nobody caught me. Did this, saw this, went here, nobody caught me. Whew, that was close, I made it. He may have gotten past that. But then Israel went out to fight another battle. They went against a little bitty town. It was called Ai. The name of the town kind of gives away how small it was. I mean, just a tiny town, two letters, Ai. It was this little bitty town. And they said, listen, we don't need the whole army. Let's just take a few people. So just a small elite group went out. They fought this battle in Ai. And God was not pleased with what Achan had done in Jericho. So God said, I'm going to back off. I'm just going to let you do this by yourself. And I believe it was 36 men that died. Soldiers of the elite force died. They ran away. They were scared. They ran. And they came and they said, God, what is going on? What has happened? You said you were going to go before us. We surrounded Jericho and you destroyed that city for us. And then this little bitty city of Ai, we went there. We thought for sure we'd be able to win this battle, but we didn't. God, what is going on? And God told Joshua how to find the man who had taken the accursed thing. He said, Joshua, I want you to call this family. There were 12 tribes of Israel. And so he called one of the tribes. And of that tribe, God singled out one family. And of that family, he went all the way down until God showed Joshua, this is the man. And Joshua said to Achan, Achan, what have you done? What did you do to bring God's displeasure upon our whole country like this? And Achan said, I confess, I went into Jericho and I saw the treasure and I took it and I hid it in my tent. And if you go there now, you'll find it. Joshua sent some men. They went, they dug up the tent and they found the treasure and they realized that Achan did disobey God. The Bible says that Achan was taken out in his family. He was stoned. And God said, this is the punishment that will happen. He paid the price. See, Achan sinned, and Achan may have thought that he got away with it, but God punishes sin. There's always a punishment for sin, even if it's not right away. I've told you this story before, but we're talking about fire. I was working at the Boy Scout camp. There were some boys there that went out and started a fire overnight. They were not supposed to have a fire because it was dry just like it is now. And they started a little fire, and before they could get caught, they covered the fire up to keep it from, you know, they put the fire out. And they threw all the dirt on it and everything, and then they left it there. The problem was the dirt that they threw on the fire had pine needles and other things like that in it, so it kept smoldering. It wasn't too long after that that the little bitty campfire that they were not supposed to have started came back to life and lit up again, and it started to spread. It was dry, pine needles all over the ground, so the fire started to spread. Oh, it was breakfast time back in camp. We heard over the radio one of the camp directors yelling, "There's a fire, there's a fire." So we went out and we looked, there's a plume of smoke coming out over the hill where these boys had started this little fire they weren't supposed to start, and they put it out thinking nobody would ever catch them. Nobody would ever find out because we put it out good enough. That's the way sin works. You cover it up as good as you can, but it's still going to smolder. And until God is ready and he lets it light up and you get caught. We all ran out there. We finally put that fire out. And it could have been a bad, bad situation. It could have been like one of these big fires burning right now. Two or three young men started a fire they weren't supposed to start, covered it up thinking they'd never get caught. But eventually they were caught. Because your sin will always find you out. Ecclesiastes 12:4, the Bible says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." God will bring every work into judgment. You will one day stand before God, and you will be judged for everything you've done. In Matthew, we're preaching through Matthew chapter 12, and I got away from this morning to preach this. The Bible says, even every idle word that we say, we will give an account. For every idle word that we say, not idle like an idol that you worship, but idle like just a by the way, just saying something we shouldn't say. I got one more principle I want to give you, and that's this. Remember, you can't consistently resist temptations in your own power. We're facing summertime. Temptations are going to go up. Crime goes up. The opportunity to sin goes up. Maybe less supervision, maybe more free time. And here's what you've got to understand. You can't face temptations on your own. Now, you may be able to once or twice or here or there, but you can't consistently resist temptation in your own power. God said, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And that ought to apply to everything that we do. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, and you probably know the verse. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear." So that's a long verse saying there will be temptations, but there will never be a temptation so big that God's not able to help you out of it or make a way of escape. But here's the question. Who is it that makes the way of escape? It's God. It's not me. I cannot escape temptation on my own. And you will not always be able to escape temptation on your own. You may think so. You may let yourself get into some situations where people around you are sinning. They're tempting you to sin. And you may find yourself in these sinful or tempting areas. And you may say, "Okay, I made it out of that one. I went there and I didn't do anything wrong." But it won't always happen that way. Anthony Britton, you may never heard of him. Anthony Britton, he's an escape artist. This guy knows how to escape just about anything. He's in England. He's an escape artist there. He started picking locks when he was just a kid. His first escape was from the coal shed when he was 9 years old. I don't understand all the details there, but I don't know if it was a punishment that he was in the coal shed, but he said, "I escaped the coal shed when I was 9 years old. Picked the lock and got out of that." He's escaped from so many. He's escaped from straitjackets while hanging upside down from a crane with the ropes that are holding him on fire. I mean, this guy, he's amazing. He could escape just about anything. In 2015, he decided to outdo Harry Houdini. Now, Harry Houdini is known for an amazing feat, and that is that he was buried alive 6 feet underground, handcuffed, and he dug his way out and survived. Actually, Harry Houdini didn't really do it all the way. His hand went through, but then that's as far as he went. They had to dig him out. So Anthony Britton said, "I'm going to do better than that. I'm the greatest escape artist in history. I'm going to do better than that." So 2015, in front of a huge crowd of people at a carnival type of a setting, he decided he was going to outdo him. His job was to free himself from the handcuffs and dig out through tons of heavy dirt. I just read the story last night. I'm a bit claustrophobic. All right, so if this bothers you, just plug your ears. He survived. Okay. He said things began quickly to go wrong. He said, "I was handcuffed. I was put on the bottom." Now, this particular escape was, there's no casket involved. You're just buried alive under dirt. And Who would do that? But you're buried alive under dirt, and you've got to dig your way out. He said, things started to go wrong. He said, the soil was landing on top of me and around the side of me. It was compacting and crushing me. Every single time another bucket came, it was getting worse. I managed to get an air hole. I remember exhaling, and because I collapsed my lungs, the soil compacted into that space, which meant that when I went to inhale, I couldn't. Doesn't that just give you the creeps? I hate it. But you've got to understand that this will help you to survive this summer. It was not a problem, but I remember then getting my right arm stuck in the soil, and I started passing out. At that point, all sorts went through my head, and I just remember thinking, it's up to the ground crew to do their job. Assistants on the ground used a mechanical digger and their bare hands to disentomb Britton after they were no longer able to hear him breathing. They must have some kind of equipment where they could listen to him. 9 minutes after being buried alive, Antony's team pulled his unconscious body out of the ground, pulled the soil out of his mouth and throat so emergency responders can give him oxygen. A few minutes later, he regained consciousness. Can you picture this? This guy is such a good escape artist. He is so good at it, he said, I'm going to try the ultimate escape. And I'm going to let them bury me alive, handcuffed, and I'm going to dig my way out. And once I get to the top, everybody's going to know I can escape everything. But something went wrong. You know what went wrong? He got buried under 6 feet of dirt is what went wrong. But something went wrong. His arm couldn't move. He couldn't dig out, and he passed out. He suffocated, but he was within seconds of losing his life, but they were able to save his life. Even though he's a professional escape artist, and even though he'd escaped hundreds of times before, the day came when Antony Britton was not able to escape on his own. And here's what you got to understand. It doesn't matter how many times you succeed in not sinning. When you allow yourself to be put in a place where you're tempted, you won't always be able to escape on your own. There will be the time when you fail. There will be the time when you say, I think I can handle this on my own, but you can't, and you lose. If you depend on your own strength, you will fail. You have to rely on God. You have to keep your relationship with God strong. Your relationship with God today has to be stronger than the temptation that you will face today. You've got to learn this. I cannot escape temptation on my own. I've got to have a strong relationship with God. Otherwise, the day will come where I fail. The obvious lesson from the escape artist that almost died is this. Don't get in a grave on purpose and let people cover you with dirt. Doesn't that make sense to anybody else? He wouldn't have been in the situation. Listen, guys, if you allow yourself to be alone with a girl, you're going to eventually fail. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't allow yourself to be in a situation, I'm talking to teens, I'm talking to adults, don't allow yourself to be in a situation this summer where you could possibly fail. You may say, I've been there many times before, and it's fine, there's nothing ever happened, but you will not always be able to escape. Don't set yourself up to fail, girls. If you allow a boy into your home when there's no one else at home, you will eventually fail. Don't allow it. Don't set yourself up to fail. Allowing yourself to be alone with a member of the opposite sex is like getting in the grave handcuffed and say, okay, bury me. I'll see if I can get out of this thing. You're going to fail eventually. Don't set yourself up to fail. Don't trust yourself to be able to escape temptation. The same thing goes for adults. Don't allow yourself to be in a position where you'll be tempted to sin. Real practical and we're done. You can't listen to music about immorality all day and expect to have a clean mind and a pure body. You can't listen to the rock music. You can't listen to country music all day long and expect at the end of the day to be thinking clean thoughts. You just can't. You can disagree with me all day long, but you can't. You can't watch shows where actors wear seductive clothes and expect to think pure thoughts. I don't know the statistics exactly, but statistics say that about half of the people in a church are watching pornography on a regular basis. You can't do that and expect to succeed. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. Eventually, you're going to get to the point where you can't dig yourself out and your life is destroyed. If you don't want to get buried alive, don't get in the grave. I've counseled enough couples to know that watching pornography is like asking someone to bury you and your wife alive and hoping against all odds that your marriage is going to survive. It probably won't. Don't bring that into your family. Don't allow that. Don't allow the devil to bury you and say, okay, I can get out of this. God sees everything you do. He sees what you see. God knows what you're hiding on your phone. God knows what you watch when you don't think anyone is looking. and you will get caught. Maybe not right away. You know, here's what the devil does. He waits until you're not the only one that gets hurt, and then he uncovers your sin. He waits until it's not just you. If you get caught right now, it's just you that gets caught. But the devil's like, shh, 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 here, I'll help you out. I'll cover for you. And he will keep you from getting caught until the maximum amount of damage is done, and it hurts you, and it hurts your family, and it hurts your kids, and it hurts people around you. He'll wait years if he has to. God sees everything you do. You will get caught. There's always a punishment for sin. So listen to this. The faster you confess it and forsake it, the better things will turn out. The Bible says it this way, he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. What's confessing and forsaking? It's going to God and saying, God, I know it was wrong, and I don't want to do it again. Would you help me not to do it again? Confess it. It was wrong. Don't do it again. Confess and forsake. God sees everything you do. You will get caught. There's always a punishment for sin, and you can't consistently resist temptation in your own power. Jesus is the only person who won the battle over temptation, and he wants to help you win the victory over your temptations. And he's there. The ladies sing a song. He's as close as the mention of his name, Jesus. He wants to help you. Listen, God wants to help you have a wonderful summer. I love summertime. I'd rather summertime over wintertime any day. I spent 5 years in Chicago. I hate the cold. I'd rather summertime. I love summertime. But I understand that there's temptations that come with summertime. You need to understand this. There are actions that you and I need to take to be able to resist temptation this summer. Don't go it alone. Understand that if you sin, you will get caught. Understand that God wants to help you, and he will help you through the summer. But you've got to have a close relationship with him as you go. Father, I pray that you would use this message just to be a help today. I pray that you'd protect our church as we enter into the summer season. I know temptations are high during the summer. There's so many of them. Some of them have to do with just because people don't wear what they ought to wear. And some of them have to do with us not being supervised or not having a structure. But Lord, I pray that each and every person here would make a decision that they will do right this summer. You're watching. Help us to live for you this summer. I pray that you would help us to have a close relationship with you this summer. And that you would walk through it with us. You'd help us to do right.